There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast with something up its butt. And joining me, as always, is the handless Lee. Well, handless upper butt Lee.
What?
I don't know.
You know, I always love it because I start like with the beautiful, the talented, the wonderful Lee, and then by the end of it, it's like, it's Lee. You guys know her.
Well, at least I said you didn't have a hand up your butt, so whatever. Okay. Hey, how's it going, Lee?
It's good. So
it seems like just minutes ago we talked.
It seems like, yeah, but gosh, it must have been days and days. I have news.
Okay.
The DragonCon app is ready for the 2006 updates. This does not mean there is any.
All right, so everything
listed.
Should be on there. Hold on, let me go check. I don't see anything on there.
No, there's not. I hate you so much. But
where's the extract? I don't see the extract schedule on here.
That kind of stuff.
Where's the extract schedule? I don't see it on here.
I'm gonna hurt you. I cannot. You see me in like less than 20 days, and I will kick you.
Not if I see you first.
Yeah, I'm picking you up at the airport. Hush. So it's up there. It's ready. So you can go on and get your updates. There are updates going on. You can go on and do your friends codes and start getting all excited and seeing when things come out and be one of the first to know when the schedules all do come out. But
there's no Pokemon app on this thing.
There is no Pokemon Go app. I know. You know, I keep wondering how many people are going to have little Pokemon. This year.
A lot of people have little Pokemon at this point, I suppose.
Well, in
a
the
virtual
Pokemon
sense.
Go. But I mean, like, how many are playing them? Be carrying maybe a stuffed one. Ugh. Or a puppet one.
I appreciate it because it gets my, you know, kids walking around and whatnot, which they're pretty active already, so it wasn't a big deal. Mm-hmm. But they never wanted to go to the park, so now they do because that's where these things are. Those damn kids, get off of my lawn! So, yeah, but on the other hand, at DragonCon, please, as a safety precaution, just, you know, look up. Dear God, look up.
Don't stop and catch one.
Charbroiled thing or whatever it's called.
I actually probably would yell at you if you stop in the middle of a busy hallway to try to catch something, because I know what the motion is, even if I'm not doing it. I know you're not just catching it by walking. So that's
right.
Good.
So what else going on?
Yeah, we got that. And then we've got, and more guests are being announced. So be careful, you know, keep watching the list. We've gotten some more writers and some more comic artists and other people and bands. A lot of bands are getting announced now. So keep looking. If you're looking for your favorite band, they might be on there now. That's always so cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Foo Fighters is on there?
No, Foo Fighters is not on there. And The Rock is not coming.
The Rock will be there. There will be a Rock there.
There will be a Rock there.
The Rock is coming. Rock. Just check out those bands. They're bringing The Rock.
Well, see, not my favorite Rock won't be there.
Who's your favorite Rock?
Fraggle Rock. Down at Fraggle Rock. With the dog Sprocket, which I should have known.
You failed to answer that correctly. So
I cannot believe I totally missed that one. But it is so cool because you know what?
What?
The somebody who's the Henson Company, it's like a big deal for them, and we're going to have people there, and we got somebody who can talk about it.
No, prove it. I don't believe it if it's only coming from
Bo,
you.
Come on in now. Come on in.
Your Fraggle Rock segue was really good on account of the fact that Karen Prell will be joining us again this year, who was Red Fraggle on Fraggle Rock.
Yay!
They're going to be back? The Red
Fraggle
is going to be back?
Just Karen's okay. Coming back this year.
See, I didn't get a chance to see Karen when she was here. Was it last year or 2 years ago?
It was more than 2 years ago.
Okay. I didn't get to see her, and I really want to see. I loved Fraggle Rock.
She had Red with her at the time, didn't she?
She did. And I'm very pleased to say that Karen Prell is one of the nicest people I've ever met. And when I realized that I had a great reason to bring her back this year, I was really excited because I love her. And I just want to spend time with her and be around her because she's amazing.
Yes. Yes. There are people like that.
Yeah. She is, in fact, coming back because in addition to being Red Fraggle on Fraggle Rock, she was also one of the principal puppeteers in the Labyrinth film.
Yes. Oh, and this is a big Labyrinth year. It even is though we're 30th... still very, very sad about one thing.
It's the 30th anniversary of Labyrinth, and that's a big focus on the track this year, is celebrating the 30th anniversary. And Karen was the puppeteer for the Junk Lady. She was the puppeteer for the worm that Sarah meets at the beginning of the Labyrinth. And she worked in many of the other segments. She worked on the Helping Hands segment. She was one of the puppeteers for the Fieries. So when we started doing planning for the Labyrinth stuff, I jumped at the chance to bring Karen back, and thankfully she's graciously agreed to join us again.
Sweet.
I just have to say, I Labyrinth, I remember being a kid and it freaked me out a little bit. What year did, so it's the 30th anniversary now?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the 30th anniversary of Dragon Con.
And it is. So yeah, I would have been.
The line.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I would have been 16. And I remember there were parts of Labyrinth that actually freaked me out when I first saw it.
And it's rated PG.
Yeah. And the Dark Crystal, too. I mean, the Dark Crystal, there were parts of that that I was like, oh, I don't like.
It's rated PG before PG-13 existed, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
But Labyrinth was, I just always remember thinking it was so beautifully done. And there were certain things I wanted to have with me. Like I wanted to take the worm and I wanted to take, there was some fluffy little, there was the fluffy little thing that was, I thought he was so cute. I wanted those at my house, but then there was the other little thing. Those kind of scared me, but so yeah. It's a beautiful movie, and you guys are doing something really that's brand new to Dragon Con this year, and it's only because of Labyrinth, and you're doing that on Thursday night at the soft opening of Dragon Con, John. So what is that?
We have two big partnerships with the Center for Puppetry Arts and Dragon Con this year. I work at the Center for Puppetry Arts during the rest of the year. And it's a great way to bring two really amazing, important Atlanta organizations together in all the right ways. So Dragon Con is sponsoring the first Labyrinth Masquerade Ball at the Center for Puppetry Arts, which is really exciting.
That is so cool.
Celebrate the 30th anniversary of the film. Now we have Labyrinth puppets in our new museum at the center, and that's been open since November. You can see Sir Didymus, you can see some of the goblins, you can see the guys on the door, that one of them tells the truth and one of them always lies. There's lots of really great stuff in there, and you can see Dark Crystal stuff and the Muppets and all that. But we also have a special exhibits gallery as part of our new museum. And the first special exhibit gallery is going to open very soon, and it will be all about Labyrinth. It's an entire exhibit at the center just about Labyrinth that we are doing to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the film. And so to commemorate the opening of the exhibit, which is happening right with Dragon Con, we are hosting at the center the Labyrinth Masquerade Ball. So
how dressed up are people getting? I mean, is a masquerade ball like full on masquerade with all the gowns and stuff too?
Yeah, so the idea is that people are encouraged to either wear Labyrinth-themed costumes, and I think Dark Crystal costumes are fine, too. If you want to do Dark Crystal costumes, nobody's going to say no. Or typical masquerade ball gowns, you know, masks, that kind of outfits. And we will be having a costume contest, and the costume contest will be judged by Brian Henson.
Oh! Where might we know Brian Henson from?
He's, he's this guy who, he gets coffee for puppets.
Is probably actually literally what he does.
I'd get coffee for puppets. I'm just saying, if that was a job, I'm there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, of course he's a...
That's actually kind of a deep joke. I there's bonus features on Muppet Treasure Island DVD where everybody asks who Brian Henson is to the puppet characters, and they're like, "Yeah, I think he gets us coffee."
That's not nice.
That was my deep cut.
That is your deep cut, but I'm just saying that if that were, I'd do it for whatever movies.
You're welcome to come and volunteer at the Center for Puppeteer Arts. We're always looking for volunteers.
Always
and
looking for
puppeteers
volunteers.
Need coffee, so please.
And puppeteers need coffee. So, so where is that ball going to be held?
The ball is at the center because that's where the exhibit is. And the purpose of the ball is to celebrate the opening of the exhibit, which is celebrating the 30th anniversary of Labyrinth. Now, at the center is not, while our main stage theater space seats 350 people, that's not where you throw a party in the theater full of seats. So because of that, and because our atrium, which is where most of the festivities are going to take place, isn't as big. And while people can be in our new Worlds of Puppetry Museum, which has got lots of space, and they're going to be in the new Labyrinth exhibit that's got lots of space, in order to appease the fire codes, basically, we were only able to sell 150 tickets to the ball.
Whoa.
Which is not nearly as many tickets as there were people who wanted to buy them. The tickets went on sale on the Center for Puppetry Arts website a couple of months ago, and they sold out in 2 minutes and crashed the website.
Oops.
So we know that there's lots of people who really wanted to come, and we're sorry. If I could sell 1,000 tickets to this thing, we would have done it. But fire codes are really the thing that held us back. We just can't have more than that many people in the atrium at one time.
Well, let me ask you this question. So where is the Center for Puppetry Arts as it relates to Dragon Con Central, if you will?
It's not very far away. It's at Art Center Station, which is very close from Peachtree Center Station. So it's not a very far martyr ride. It's in
only
Midtown.
Only a couple up the North Line. Only a couple.
Yeah, it's only a couple. It's in Midtown on Spring Street and I think 18th. But because we have a partnership with Dragon Con, for those people who have got tickets to the ball, we will be running a shuttle from Dragon Con behind the Marriott in the back of the Marriott where that little pull-through is. We'll be running a shuttle from Dragon Con over to the center for people who are attending Dragon Con who want to go to the ball.
The lucky people that have the tickets already.
The lucky people, yes.
Yes, so that'll be cool.
But also for anybody else who isn't going to Dragon Con, I'm not really sure why you're listening to this podcast, but the center, for a place in Midtown, the center actually has a decent-sized parking lot that is free. So everybody who doesn't want to take the shuttle, there's plenty of parking.
There is plenty of parking, and it is a very nice. And if you are in Atlanta, maybe on Thursday, and you want to figure out something to do, the Puppetry Museum is, as we said, it's not far at all. It's on the Art Center, so it's on the MARTA line, and you're also at the High Museum, very close to that as well. So you could see two really cool museums.
Not only that,
oh,
and I think this may be the first time this news has been released. So you guys shoot here. Once you picked up your Dragon Con badge, your Dragon Con badge will get you into the Center for Puppetry Arts Museum for free.
What?
For how long?
It will get you into, how did we break it down? It's, you can get into the museum for free during Dragon Con. And then I think it's half price. For the rest of the month of September with the badge.
Wow.
So for locals.
That is a really great deal.
Even people who might be staying a few extra days, it would, that's helpful too. Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's really, really cool.
I'm glad to hear that because that was one of the things I really pushed for in the contract.
Wow. That's really cool.
That is really neat. That is really, really neat. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So cool. Yay. So see, folks, you can go get your badge and then go to the Puppetry Arts.
And if for those people who are local, by the way, we're doing another event before the ball called Shortcut to Goblin City. And what this is it's actually a free member event where you can come and see the exhibit before the people who come to the actual ball. And it's on the 24th or 25th. You can go to www.puppet.org to check it out. It's called Shortcut to Goblin City. And if you buy a membership to the Center for Puppetry Arts, you get into this event for free. You'll get to see the exhibit before anybody else because it's open to members before anything else. And like a 2-person membership is like $75, which is
that's a great deal.
It's a great
deal.
I'm
gonna go look right now. Okay.
Yeah. Keep talking. We'll be screening the film, so you can come and we'll screen Labyrinth. There's a snow owl puppet making activity. You'll get to make your very own David Bowie snow owl.
Even puppet. The adults?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Especially the adults, Lee.
You know, sometimes I'll just borrow a kid so I can make the crafts too, but okay.
And with the snow owl, I was charged with figuring out what create a puppet we would do for the shortcut. And I was thinking about it, I was like, we can do the worm, because we kind of decided the worm was kind of like the sort of like mascot of the Shortcut to Goblin City event. But then I was like, then we have to get, you know, we have to create a new design and we'll have to get approval by Henson. And then I realized that we had a snow owl and, you know, you don't need like approval from Henson to do a snow owl. Cause it's, right. You know, it just looks like a snow owl. So I went back and forth with all these different ideas of characters from the film. And then we realized we already had the snow owl and it was one of our creative puppet designs that's slightly more advanced than the more kiddy versions that we normally do. So it was perfect. It was already a little more advanced for adults. We knew we're going to be the primary, you know, demographic of people who were coming to the event anyway. So you get to come see the museum. You get to see the film. You'll get to, I think there's hors d'oeuvres and snacks and stuff and drinks. The bar will be open. And you'll also get into the Worlds of Puppetry Museum that has Kermit and Big Bird and Bert and Ernie and Cookie Monster and all that other amazing stuff. So
I was listening to another podcast and one of the hosts was talking about that he went to the Center of Puppetry Arts and he saw Sprocket. This is why I was so mad I couldn't remember Sprocket the other day, John. And that he saw Sprocket there at the Center for Puppetry Arts. And he was like, first of all, he almost burst into tears. This is a he. Mm-hmm. And second of all, he said he really wanted to take it home. He was like, I wonder how fast I'd have to run to get it out of the building. I mean, he was you got to run really, really fast. You're not going to do it, guys. Nobody.
Well, not only do we have Sprocket, we actually have every single Fraggle.
You have every Fraggle?
We have all the main characters. We have all the main cast of each of the Fraggles and Uncle Traveling Matt. So if you love Fraggles, we have it. I mean, everybody. We've got Sprocket and all the main Fraggles.
Jay scares away. Okay, but also you got Kermit. I mean,
we have Kermit. We have Piggy. We've got Dr. Teeth. We got Scooter. We have Robin. I mean, and that's just a drop in the bucket. You know, the Henson family donated a lot of the puppets in their personal collection to three organizations: the Center for Puppetry Arts, the Smithsonian, and the Museum of the Moving Image, the MOMI, in New York. The Center got the biggest share of the three organizations. So we have the largest collection of Jim Henson puppets of anywhere in the world.
Wow.
You know, it's right here in Atlanta.
Wow.
That
is amazing.
And we have about 80 artifacts in the museum at any given point. And we have about 700 artifacts in storage.
Wow.
So when you come to see the museum, you're only seeing a fraction of what we have. And we do rotations every 6 months. We take stuff out of the museum and put new stuff in every 6 months. So when you say, oh, well, I can buy a membership, but, you know, and that gives you free museum access whenever you want. That doesn't mean that you're always going to see something new when you come back. You know, it's great.
Yeah. And if you happen to go last year during Dragon Con, now is the perfect time to go again.
It's totally different. The museum wasn't even there. I mean, we built this gigantic new addition.
Huge addition, folks.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, no, we were under construction for a year last year, and we opened the new wing opened in November of last year. So for Dragon Con people, this is, I mean, totally brand new.
Yes.
This was not here last year
and,
at all.
And pretty much your demographic, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and no, it is. It's a beautiful, beautiful space. They've done a lovely job. And yes, it is all brand new. So if you've gone before because, oh, I loved it because I got to see something with the plays or something of that nature, there's more now. Mm-hmm. There's more exhibit space. There's lots and lots of space.
Lee, yay. When you came, was the Goblin Throne out when you came?
No.
Well, if you come, we built a replica of David Bowie's Goblin Throne from the movie that you can sit in and take pictures in.
You can sit in it?
Oh, yeah. It's there to be sat in. So, but not only that. So if you come to, if you did get tickets to Goblin City, it'll be there. If you're a local and you decide to come to Shortcut, or if you come to the ball, it'll be there. If you decide to become a member and come to Shortcut to Goblin City, which I encourage locals to do, the throne will be there and you can take your picture in it. Then after the ball, the throne will move to Dragon Con. And the throne will be outside the puppetry track room all of Dragon Con.
Okay, so as you're saying that, where is the puppetry track room?
The puppetry track room is in Marriott
A704. A equals atrium,
now,
John.
Now, I have to ask you this. Is it the same place that was last year?
Yes, the puppetry track is in the same place it was last year.
All right. A lot of tracks have moved around this year because of, well, construction and, you know, just expansion. So I just want to make sure. So yeah, it's same place.
We are
last year.
In the same place. We are right there. And then actually we've grown into the room next door into A703. And we will have a small amount of programming in A703, including, since we're going to, I think, make a little transition now into puppetry track programming. Secret shows.
What would I see at a secret show?
What secret?
Well,
it's a secret.
We have two. We started the secret shows last year, and we got a really great response to it. So the secret shows are puppet shows that are presented by members, guests, and pros that are part of the puppetry track that are not in the programming guide.
Ooh.
The only way to know about them is to follow. The puppetry track Facebook page,
which is where
we also have physical signs outside the puppetry track room that say when the secret shows are.
Well, what,
so these are like covert secret puppet shows at Dragon Con.
What's the web page for, or the Facebook page for the puppetry track?
It is Dragon Con Puppetry Track.
Okay. Well, that I never may be able to. Never may be able to. Never mind. Forget it. I'm just learning
to talk.
You talk
real good.
I's good talking.
Depends on the day.
I's learned well here in Florida. Okay, so that's not the only thing that you have going on big. I mean, you've got a ton of stuff going on.
How do you do all this stuff? But keep going.
It's pretty crazy. I mean, when you think about the fact that the puppetry track is only like 5 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
I think we had you on
last year, Carol Spinney. Who played Big Bird and Oscar? He won the Julie Award at Dragon Con, which is Dragon Con's Lifetime Achievement Award. We had the Fraggles 3 years ago. I mean, this year Brian Henson is our headlining guest. Last year we had Steve Whitmire and Kermit the Frog. Mm. Kermit the Frog, and that was the big trick. I mean, honestly, that was the biggest challenge after last year was, okay, you had Kermit the Frog. Now what do you do? where do you go from there? And so we went to Brian Henson. That's what we did.
There you go. That's not a bad one to go to.
It's not.
Gotta give you points.
Pretty
not
good.
Bad.
Thank you.
Pretty good.
So Brian is our headlining guest. We got a lot of fantastic programming with Brian. He'll be doing lots of events on Friday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
He has his Evolution of Puppetry Talk, which is like his TED Talk that he's done at TEDs around the world. So that's on Friday, Brian Henson's Evolution of Puppetry. Then he's going to do, and this is great news. This is great news for the scapers out there. Brian Henson is doing a Farscape panel.
Whoa, really?
Because Brian was the executive producer of Farscape. Right. It was his big show. This was what he wanted to do. This was this is what he put forward. This is what Jim would have wanted I truly believe that Farscape was the kind of show that Jim would have wanted to have happen.
Oh, yeah.
Pushing the boundaries of puppetry, you know, and I am a huge Farscape fan. Farscape is one of my favorite shows of all time. And I know that we've had a lot of Farscape guests over the years, but we've never really, I mean, we had a puppetry of Farscape panel, one year. We had one puppeteer who had done a little bit of puppetry on the show, but he wasn't one of the main puppeteers, Victor Yared. But this year, Brian is going to talk about Farscape, and that is completely different than anything DragonCon has ever had before.
That is so neat.
Do we have a tentative day on when that will be?
That is going to be on Friday as well.
Okay.
And remember, it's always tentative because things might move around a little bit.
That's right. And then also on Friday, we have Brian's doing a panel called The Creature Projects. So it's called Brian Henson, The Creature Projects, and that will be Brian talking about all of the non-Muppety stuff he did. So Jim Henson Storyteller, he'll talk about, which is an amazing series. If people haven't watched it, watch Jim Henson Storyteller series. It's fantastic. You know, he won't really get into Farscape a whole lot because that's, you know, obviously part of the Farscape panel. But he'll talk about Jim Henson's Creature Challenge. He'll talk about Dinosaurs, the TV show. All of the stuff that he worked on that was not the Muppety stuff. And then that's what we've got him doing on Friday. And then on Saturday, he will do Inside the Director's Studio with Brian Henson, which will be just like Inside the Actor's Studio, where Brian specifically talks about his work as a director.
Okay.
And then also on Saturday, we have the Puppetry of Labyrinth panel, which is our big 30th anniversary celebration of Labyrinth panel that'll have it's moderated by Kirk Thatcher, and it'll have Brian and Karen Prell talking about the film. And that is the amazing stuff that we've got Brian doing that we're really excited about.
Now you have some stuff that Star Wars fans would be excited about as well, right?
We do. And this is a big change for us. You know, we have thankfully I'm really, really lucky that I've been able to provide a lot of really great Henson stuff at the puppetry track for years now, because I have a lot of great contacts there. I know a lot of puppeteers, and that's how I'm able to do and get a lot of these guests. But obviously puppetry is bigger than Henson stuff, you know? And it's always been one of my dreams to have a Star Wars puppetry presence. And that happened this year. I'm so excited to say that we have both puppeteers for BB-8 from The Force Awakens coming to DragonCon.
Wow.
I'm over the moon. I'm over the moon about it because when I started talking to them, you know, it occurred to me that BB-8 is probably the most important new puppet character in a decade in media.
Mm-hmm.
Name another new puppet character that's in like general people's knowledge.
No.
Go for it. I mean, I can't think of one.
I can't.
You know,
I don't.
So I can't think of not anything. Only is he just such a popular new character, but the fact that, you know, people don't even know he was a puppet. They just assumed that he was CG. But he's not. He's a real practical puppet. And there was about.
Now, how do you define him as a puppet this way? Because he actually, he doesn't have the hand up him. I mean, he rolls by himself.
Well, right? there are about 20 different versions of BB-8 that were used.
Oh, okay.
That accomplish different effects. If you're referring to the one that rolls around that's remote controlled, that they showed at Celebration, mm-hmm. that wasn't actually built until photography for Force Awakens was finished.
Wow. Okay.
Because what they did is the engineers said, okay, we want to do this character. And this is how it would work if it was a real droid. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to accomplish the shots of the film, they built about 20 or so different versions. Like one of them is called the bowling ball, and it works like a Weeble Wobble. You basically throw it into the shot and it writes itself. And that's what it does. And that's all it does. And then there's one that looks kind of like a lawnmower, where there's a handle that's green screened out that comes off of it. And that's the one that they're running through the desert with. And so there's a guy that Brian Herring, who's one of our puppeteers, was dressed up in a, you know, a CG suit, holding on to this handle, would look like a lawnmower handle, just running his tail off through the desert, pushing BB-8. And that was the version for that shot.
Okay.
So then the engineers who made all the different versions, after the movie ended, they were like, guys, we gotta build one that like actually works. And so they did. And that's the one you saw at Celebration.
Okay. Well, there we go.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So Brian Herring and David Chapman are the puppeteers for BB-8. And they will be doing the puppetry of BB-8, Most Adorable Droid in the Galaxy, on Saturday. I am so excited about this panel, guys. I kind of can't even deal with it.
He is kind of the most, he really is the most adorable.
Yes, he's such a great character.
He's so adorable. With the little, and with when he did the little flip with his finger.
Oh, and see, that's puppetry. Like, that you are able to express so much emotion out of that droid who doesn't talk, doesn't have a moving mouth. You know, all that stuff.
Oh, I mean, the scenes between him and Finn when he's like looking at Rey and looking at Finn and looking at Rey and looking at Finn, and he's like, yeah, okay, here's the code. And you're just like, oh!
And it's a lot of those shots, funny. That was a rod puppet. So there's a rod that went up through the ball part of the droid into the head and had a bunch of controllers on it. And that's how they achieved a lot. Whenever BB-8's like emoting and it's like a close up, it was a rod puppet.
Well, that was, I mean, some of that emotion. I mean, and by emoting, folks, remember, it's just the head moving back and forth. That's the emotion, but it was pretty.
So good.
Freaking awesome.
And then those guys will also be on a more general puppetry of Star Wars panel, which is also on Saturday. And Kirk Thatcher will be joining them as well as the moderator. And Kirk worked on Return of the Jedi. So that panel will be a broader panel about puppetry's role in Star Wars, and then also Star Wars's role in puppetry and film. And what sort of Star Wars has brought to sort of almost legitimize puppet characters in films. So there's this great story that I'm really hoping Kirk has some extra information on about that I've heard, where when Jedi came out, there were certain members of the Academy that wanted to nominate Frank Oz for Best Supporting Actor for Yoda. And then other people in the Academy went, no, you can't do that. It's not a person. It's a puppet. No. And then those other people were like, well, have you seen this movie? That's an amazing character. Mm-hmm. He deserves it. And you know, of course, now we live in a world where Andy Serkis does motion capture and he gets, you know, Academy Awards nominations left and right. There was a huge pushback against that. And Frank was really the first person to do it. And so it's like that. So that's really what I'm hoping that they're going to dig into is how Star Wars, what Star Wars' place is in this world of puppetry on film. And then, of course, you know, Kirk's got all these great stories about the Rancor puppet and cool stuff like that. And the Admiral Akbar head and all that. Because he worked at ILM during that time.
So there, yeah, we're going to have lots of neat stories then on that.
That
will be cool.
And then, so what's really amazing about the BB-8 puppeteers, though, is those are their two Star Wars panels. But part of what's always been really important to me as a puppetry track director is that it's not just about the fact that, oh, hey, you're this puppeteer who's this celebrity character. You're BB-8, you're Kermit, you're, you know, these other characters. You know, the puppetry track is about the craft of puppetry, not just puppetry and pop culture, but the actual craft of the art form. So we have panels that are specifically designed for people who bring their own puppets to Dragon Con, as is something that started to happen in the last couple of years because of the puppetry track and something we obviously want to really promote. So on Friday, we have a panel called Puppet Coaching and Characterization, where you show up, you bring your own puppet, and we will break into as small of groups as possible. Ideally, one or two amateur puppeteers with a professional puppeteer in broken up into groups. And both Brian Herring and David Chapman are going to be on this panel. So if you are an amateur puppeteer and you have your own puppet, you have the chance to come and get one-on-one puppetry training with people of this level of talent. That does not happen anywhere. You know,
no, it doesn't. I mean, that's where it's always those things of, you know, I was explaining to a friend of what you can do and how much, you know, there's so many different things to do. So you like Labyrinth. Okay. Go to one of the panels on that. Oh, you like Star Wars too. Hey, you can go to the Star Wars track. You can, you know, oh, you want to see about learning to play Munchkin. Then you can go down to gaming. I mean, there's so many different things to do, and that you have a track that brings in a very different part of fandom.
Yeah.
But a part of fandom that all of us, I mean, I don't know anybody that doesn't like Muppets. If you don't like Muppets, I don't think I want to know you, actually. So, you know.
Yeah.
That's it. Even though for those of us that just love all this stuff. So, oh my goodness. I can't wait. That's like getting so cool.
Another really great thing about David Chapman mm-hmm. is that Dragon Con is the only convention he's going to other than Celebration.
Oh, that's cool.
So this is it. I mean, no other convention is going to have both of the puppeteers for BB-8. I know Brian Herring, he's doing some other conventions, but I had my conversation with David, and when I explained things like puppet coaching characterization and that I was really interested in his career and his talent as a puppeteer beyond BB-8. He said, you know what? After talking to you, yours is the only convention I want to go to.
There you go.
Wow. Now, of course, he's contractually obligated to go to Celebration.
Yes.
But, you know, but so this is just it's a huge win for Dragon Con that we're going to have something that other conventions just won't. But one more thing about Star Wars is, for people who hopefully saw Mike Horner's amazing A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Death Star Star Wars parody show last year, we have brought Mike back. The feedback in the app was loud and clear, and people loved the show. So I immediately, when I got the feedback, I called Mike. I said, Mike, you got to come back, and I want you to do more. So last year, he had a full original musical that he does, one-man show. He does all the voices. He does all the songs, everything, of A New Hope. This year, he's doing all three, episodes 4, 5, and 6. He's written a new show.
Uh-oh.
And it is a musical, all new songs, all new everything. Star Wars Trilogy Puppet Show is on Sunday.
All righty.
Mike is also the guy who does the Timey-Wimey Puppet Show, which is the Doctor Who, his Doctor Who one-man show, which is amazing and hilarious and fantastic. And that's also a musical, and that is on Saturday.
Now, that's not the only puppet show you have, though, right?
Oh, no.
You have one that does occur after dark.
The other big, well, obviously, the big, well, I have one more. Labyrinth thing. Our other Labyrinth thing is the people who are responsible for the exhibit at the center are the center's museum director, the technical director. Those folks will be joining us on Friday for Jim Henson's Labyrinth Journey to Goblin City at the Center for Puppetry Arts panel, where they're going to talk about what it was like creating the exhibit. They're going to talk about what it was like doing all the research and designing the exhibit and everything that went into it. And they've come across all these amazing things in doing all the research and going through all the puppets and restoring them. Russ Vick, the gentleman who's our conservator, who, you know, got all of these, you know, old puppets that are falling apart from the film and has done just an amazing job restoring them and conserving them. He's going to talk all about that. So for the Labyrinth fans, we have a lot of really amazing stuff. And then that's not all. We also have the Labyrinth sing-along is Friday night, where we have a version of the film that's subtitled and everybody can sing along to all the songs and do quotes along to all the quotes. That's so if you want to go see Labyrinth, the actual film, and sing along, that's on Friday night as well. And then on, what is our other fun Labyrinth thing? The Henson 60th Anniversary Costume Contest. So, you know, we know that a lot of people were upset that wanted to do Labyrinth costumes and obviously couldn't get ball tickets. So I wanted to create another event for people to really wear those costumes. But then we said, well, let's open it up. Why don't we just, you know, it's the 60th anniversary of Henson Company this year. So it's wide open. It's Sesame Street, The Muppets, Dark Crystal, Labyrinth, dinosaurs, you know, anything that Henson was part of. We have a costume contest. It's not a puppet contest. It's a costume contest. So the difference being, here's the example we say. If you have a Kermit puppet on your arm and you are in street clothes, that is a puppet, not a costume. If you have a Kermit puppet on your arm and are dressed like Jim Henson from the 70s, that is a costume. If you are Big Bird and dressed like Big Bird, that is a body puppet, which is also a costume. That counts as a costume. So for anybody who's wondering, oh, what's a puppet? What's a costume? Da, 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 da. That's the difference. If you just have a puppet on your arm, that isn't a costume. It's a puppet. And we don't have a puppetry contest, you know, this year. But so Henson's 60th anniversary costume contest is on Sunday. It'll be judged by Karen Prell, Kirk Thatcher, and Nicole Goldman, who is the vice president of marketing for Henson Company.
Oh, really?
Really?
Well, she might know a thing or two about judging things.
Yes, of that nature. She knows quite a thing or two about all the properties. So we're really happy to have a really great set of judges. And, you know, and for those of you who don't know, Kirk Thatcher was one of the judges on Jim Henson's Creature Challenge.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Now you still are doing the Puppet Slam, right?
Yes. The Puppet Slam, as always, is midnight on Sunday night. It's the cherry on top of the puppetry track for us. And we're moved this year. We have been in the Hyatt in Centennial for pretty much every year since we got started. And we are moving into a bigger space in the Westin. We're doubling our room size.
Woohoo!
But it is in the Westin, which is a little bit of a hike for people, and we understand that. But
I'm going to tell you,
we'll be happy to not have to turn people away.
I'm going to tell you, it's probably still not going to be big enough.
And as always, you know, one of the things that I've always felt like is really important and a really one of my favorite things that we do as the Puppetry Track, we know that people get in line 3 hours in advance for the slam. And so all of our performers, if you are not in the first couple of acts of the Puppet Slam, you are asked to go out and entertain the line with your puppets. So not only do we have one of the best shows at Dragon Con, we have the best line. Because there are puppeteers out there making you smile, getting you to laugh, and thanking you for standing in line for 3 hours to see a puppet show, which is crazy. So that's always really meant a lot to me, that we care about the line, and we go out there and you know, bring a smile to the people's faces that have been, you know, sitting out there to wait for us to entertain them. So that's always important to me, and I express that to all of our puppeteers, to get out there and, you know, get a smile from people on the line.
Wow. So cool. Is there anything that we have missed? I know that we've missed a lot so far, but you have a full
That's
slate.
Obviously the big stuff. We do have a couple of one other new thing that I think is definitely bears mentioning, or two things. One is that I've been asked by the Silk Roads track for years now, when I was going to do shadow puppetry, which originated in China and then made its way across the world. And every year I was like, I just don't have anything. I'm really sorry. This year we have 3 shadow puppetry events.
Whoa.
We have a really talented group of shadow puppeteers this year. And we will be doing a separate show called the Shadow Cabaret, which is a variety show of shadow puppet shows that's just shadow shows. That's on Friday night. On Saturday night, we'll have Into the Shadows, which is a panel about shadow puppetry. So all of my shadow puppeteers will be there talking about the art form, what drew them to it, what they love about it, why they choose it as their preferred form of puppetry. And then on Monday, we have a show called The Origins of Shadow Puppetry, which is done by an amazing puppeteer named Nappy from Nappy's Puppets, who joined us last year. And Nappy did the first secret show last year. Nappy's show was the first secret show. Nappy will be doing his show not as a secret show this year. That's on Saturday at Sing Along with Nappy's Puppets.
Sing Along with Nappy's Puppets. That's so cute. I'm sorry.
But he will be doing Origins of Shadow Puppetry, which is a show that chronicles Shadow Puppetry's journey across the world through shadow puppet characters. So these are famous shadow puppetry characters from history doing a show about how their art form traveled across the world. It's hard to explain. You got to go see it.
That sounds like something you got to go see. Because it does sound like it would be hard to explain. Yes.
It is hard to explain. The other big thing that I'm really excited about is we have a very strange titled panel called Aliens, Cats, Gophers, and Fraggles Puppeteering Iconic Characters. We have several puppeteers who are part of the track. Obviously, Karen Prell will be representing the Fraggles, who performed in either movies or TV shows that people have heard of. For example, Short Circuit. Does anybody know of a little movie called Short Circuit from the
80s? I do.
Right. We have puppeteers from Short Circuit. But probably the part of that panel that I'm most excited about is a gentleman named Pat Brimer, who was the puppeteer for the gopher from Caddyshack, is going to be there talking about what it was like working on Caddyshack. And not only that, I'm still working out the details, so I can't quite confirm it yet, but I'm pretty sure that the gopher will be there. So if you want a picture with you and the gopher from Caddyshack, which I still can't even believe I'm saying that.
Which I want to dance with him. I want to dance with him.
The gopher is going to be there. I'm so excited. And Pat has been awesome. I've had such a great time getting to know him as I've been doing my programming. And he just has this amazing career. He's just been this puppeteer out in LA for a long time. So he's worked on all these things. We have Tom Fountain, who puppeteered the cat from the talking cat on Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Got puppeteers from the Shaggy Dog, Short Circuit, like I mentioned. I mean, just all these cool movies that you've heard of, but you were like, oh my God, I had no idea that this person, you know, that was obviously somebody, and they're here. So we've got all these really great people there. And then a lot of the stuff that we've talked about. And then the last thing I think that I really want to hit on is the National Puppet Slam. The National Puppet Slam is at the center, and it is at 8 o'clock on Friday and Saturday nights and 5 o'clock on Sunday night. The National Slam is a show that I produce actually every year. But every other year it's at the Center for Puppetry Arts. And we've been really fortunate to have DragonCon partner with us since 2014 to present these puppeteers. And so the way it works is that we are able to fly all of these puppeteers in from around the country who are the best puppet slam artists in the country to perform the show, which is like a variety show of the best short form adult puppet work. So there are these puppet slams all across the country, right? And I run the one here in Atlanta called the Puck and Puppet Show. And all of these slams are connected by the Puppet Slam Network, which is managed by Heather Henson, which is Jim Henson's youngest daughter. And we get grant money to produce these shows from out of Heather's generosity. And so the National Slam is basically takes all of the best acts from all of those different slams from across the country and puts them together into one show. And then those artists who are in that show make up the bulk of the pros of the Puppetry Shack.
Very cool.
Please come in. You can go to the Center for Puppetry Arts' website, www.puppet.org, to get tickets to the National Slam. And then you can go see their amazing work. And then you can come and see their programming at DragonCon. You can see their panels. You can see them perform in the DragonCon Slam. And you can see them do all the other amazing stuff that they're going to do. Another thing that we're doing is there's going to be an interactive show in the Slam this year where you can come by the puppetry track, and we'll have a table outside the puppetry track where people – it's almost sort of like a Mad Libs puppet show. And people come by, and you put your ideas down, and then those ideas are what will build the show that will be on Sunday night in the DragonCon Slam. So we're developing the show at DragonCon based on ideas given to us by the DragonCon folks. So really excited.
Your track is just, let me ask you, do you plan to get any sleep during DragonCon?
No, I sleep after DragonCon.
Okay. Cause
sleep is for the weak.
Well, here's what's crazy is that I'm the host.
Which is me, because I sleep. It's okay, I sleep.
I'm actually the host of the National Slam at Dragon or at the Center, which means that I have to do programming and manage all my programming at Dragon Con. Then I have to leave and go off site, go to the center and host the show, and then go back and do that on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I'll tell you what, I could not do any of this without my amazing team of volunteers. I have two assistant directors, Whitney Carnes and Elizabeth Leary, who hold down the fort for me for everything that we do, and the rest of my amazing team of volunteers. And I couldn't do any of it without them. I've got a great team, and they're the best. I have the best volunteers. I'm just going to go ahead and say it.
Of course. So do I. I'm just saying.
Actually, every single volunteer at Dragon Con is awesome because, you know, again, they're taking time out of their con experience to make everybody else's experience fantastic. So, and I mean, other than the billions of dollars they make every year for volunteering.
Yeah. Keep going with that.
They do it out of the kindness of their heart. So, all right, Bo, before we let you go, we've been doing quizzes at the end of these podcasts to test, basically really to embarrass Lee, mostly, is really what this is for.
That's really just, John, yeah.
So if you will indulge us, we have a trivia contest based around, I don't know. How about the Muppets? That sounds like a good idea. And I'm sure you probably won't have any problems. So we'll start with you. In 1975, The Muppet Show aired one of two pilots, the first pilot being called The Muppet Show Valentine's Show. The Valentine Show, I believe it was called. In 1975, they aired the second of the two pilots. What was it called?
The End of Sex and Violence.
That is correct.
Holy cow.
And as a matter of fact, you can see at least four, I think, of the Seven Deadly Sin puppets from that pilot at the Center for Puppetry Arts on display.
There you go. Another reason to go over there. Lee,
mm-hmm.
As you know, Kermit the Frog has been the host of the Muppet Show. Oh, wait, no, he hasn't. On the Sex and Violence pilot, who was the host?
You know, I actually have this set, and I watched that recently, and of course my dog is barking.
My dog is barking is not one of the Muppets.
No, he's not.
Can I steal?
You're going
to
steal.
You're going to be able to steal in a second.
You're going to be able to steal, yes. I don't know.
Bo, would you happen to know?
I do. Now, I don't know the character's actual name, but I know that it's the conductor of the Muppet Show Orchestra.
I'll give you a hint. It begins with the letter N.
Ooh. I want to say Neville or something like that, but I don't think that's correct.
It is Nigel. Nigel.
Nigel. Yeah.
I'll give you a
half. I knew who it was.
I'll give you a half point.
Couldn't remember the name, but still pretty good.
He, according to this source, he was dropped because he was deemed too wimpy to host the show. Mm. So,
well, not everybody can be Kermit.
No.
Now, of course, Kermit did not first appear on television in The Muppet Show. He appeared in 1955 on what show, Bo?
Sam and Friends.
That is correct. Sam and Friends. Lee, you knew that, though, right?
I knew it wasn't Sesame Street, but it would have taken me a minute, maybe a minute.
Well, I mean, it kind of helps that I work in a museum of this stuff. Like,
oh, yeah, he knows that. Don't worry. He knows. Don't, Bo. He's enjoying this. It's okay. No when problem. I put him in a Powerpuff Girls dress, it'll be all right. We'll be good. Don't worry.
According to this source, Lee,
mm-hmm.
Jim, because I'm not 100% sure that this source is correct, but probably is. And Bo can actually confirm it or not. Jim Henson's final performance as Kermit the Frog was on May 4th, 1990, during an episode of what? May 4th, 1990, during an episode of what?
I would have to say that's Sesame Street.
That is incorrect. Bo, do you know?
It was either Muppets Tonight or the Jim Henson Hour.
No, according to the source, it was the Arsenio Hall show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, his last appearance. There you go. May 4th, 1990.
I don't know everything.
Okay, let me switch over here. Who was the starring role of who starred in the Muppets Christmas Carol as Scrooge? This is to you, Bo.
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine, that is correct.
Great movie. Okay. Still, I mean, that's still a great movie.
I knew that one.
Well, yeah, okay. Let's see. Who directs the Muppet Christmas Carol? Muppets Christmas Carol, Lee.
What year was it?
I don't remember.
Brian Henson.
That is correct. Lee yes! gets a point.
That is correct.
Lee gets a point. She has 1 point. She's on the board.
That's all I care about right now. I got one
Kermit,
question.
The original Kermit the Frog was made from what? Bo. And I can get more specifically, it belonged to his mom.
Yeah, Jim's mother's coat.
That is correct.
His mom. I thought it was an old bathroom. So yeah, it was his old coat.
In the museum, we don't draw attention to it, but it's in the museum. There is actually a green coat with, you can see like Kermit's arms and body, like a pattern of him cut out of the coat. And it's hanging up in the back of one of the displays.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. It's not, I mean, it's, you know, a prop. Like, it's not obviously Jim's mom's real coat, but it's just a great little nod to where Kermit came from. Because our museum is cool like that.
Lee, according to Jim Henson, the Muppets get their name from the combination of what two words?
Well, puppet is the second word.
Well, that's a good shot. The problem is, do you know the other one?
I think it's man and puppet.
That is incorrect. Bo, for the win, do you know?
Marionette
and puppet is correct. Bo wins. I'm shocked.
You know
and surprised.
What? I bow down to Bo on this one. I got no problems bowing down to Bo on this one.
My last question for bonus points. Where was it? What is Miss Piggy's full name?
Who?
Who?
I don't know that one.
Miss Piggy Lee.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yes. So.
Okay, that's kind of cute.
All right, so
I actually I have a really crazy Miss Piggy story that I'm not allowed to talk about.
we'll have to find you at Dragon Con and hear about it that way.
Instead of on a recording.
I actually can't even tell you in private. It's that crazy of a story.
Wow.
Okay. We're actually only allowed to tell other puppeteers, actually, is the rule.
Fun fact here, too, and I'm sure you already knew this, that almost all the Muppets are left-handed.
Do you know why that is?
Because Jim was left-handed?
No. Oh. Muppets are left-handed because most people are right-handed, which means that your right hand is what's inside their mouth, and your left hand is what's controlling their hand.
That's a good point.
So that is actually why most Muppet characters are left-handed.
Oh, that is that's a fantastic little bit of information. Did not know. And that is some of the stuff that you'll find A on the puppetry track and B at the Center for Puppetry Arts.
That's right.
So, Bo, again, tell everybody where they can find you both on the web and, you know, where you're physically going to be at Dragon Con and any other information that is important for them to know before we sign off here.
Sure. Well, you can come and find the puppetry track down in Marriott A704. Now we have tons of large room programming. Obviously, all of Brian Henson stuff, all the Star Wars stuff. We are actually all over large programming. In fact, I think we have just as much large room programming as we do track room programming. So most of our large room programming, however, is in the Marriott. So the Marriott is the place to be for puppetry stuff. Go take advantage of the deal with your Dragon Con badge. Go see the museum at the Center of Puppetry Arts. I just do it. Just it's amazing. And if you can, if you're from out of town, you know, go see it while you're in town. And if you're a local, then, you know, wait until the convention's over and then go. It's going to be awesome to see all the stuff that's in. So not only do we have the Jim Henson exhibit, but we also have a global collection, which is puppets from all around the world, from all different cultures. And that's a phenomenal experience too. And I always recommend people doing the global collection first and then going to the Jim Henson collection, because you kind of see the Muppets' ancestors, basically, and you can see where they came from and how they evolved out of these deep, you know, primal traditions of puppetry from all these different cultures across the world. You can join the Puppetry Track Facebook group to learn all about our programming and things that we do and how to get involved if you want to volunteer somehow.
And secret shows.
And that's just the DragonCon Puppetry Track. You can search for that and you'll get it. And that's a great way to find out about the secret shows. We have two secret shows this year. So far, we might add some more. Who knows? Because it's a secret. But come and see those. Those are really, really cool. And then you go to www.puppet.org to find all about how to get tickets to the National Slam or to come and see the museum otherwise, or come see any of the other amazing programming that we do at the center. You know, we have great kid shows as well as adult programming like the National Puppet Slam. And let's see. I can say this, that while Bob and Carl, the sci-fi janitors, have basically retired from making videos, we will return to host the Dragon Con Puppet Slam.
Yay!
So if you really miss Bob and Carl, which I know a lot of people do, and honestly, I miss doing it too. You can see them in live and in person at the Dragon Con Puppet Slam.
Yeah, having kids in real life probably kind of interferes with some of that stuff. So
yeah, I had the kids, and then Matt had some Matt who plays Bob. You know, we both had sort of life stuff going on, we're really glad that we get to sort of reunite for Dragon Con. You know, that's sort of like our home anyway. So we feel like it's, you know, the one, if we're going to do anything, that's what we want to do. Even though we're not making videos anymore.
It's awesome. All right. Thank you once again, Bo, for joining us. It's been a pleasure, and man,
go check out the
Facebook, pages, basically just check out everything, cause it's going to be, slammed. no pun intended.
Hey-oh.
No pun. with puppet stuff. So,
that's a bad question.
All be asking yourself now that you know everything that's happening this year, the question everybody should be asking themselves is, what am I going to do next year?
You know, you might want to consider retirement at this point.
Oh no, I have a plan.
Oh really?
Oh yeah.
Oh, what other big thing happens next year? Okay, well, never mind. We'll talk about that next year. So until next time and next year with Bo, this is John. For Bo and Lee, saying peace.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.